So what kind of problems do we actually see plaguing superannuation and the superannuation industry right now?
Well, I think actually your introduction summed it up. We put, I think there's about $2 trillion, that's $2,000 million of superannuation assets under management by super funds, but we don't know much about it as contributors and consumers. It just sort of happens, and we don't know how it's used, how it's invested, and we certainly don't usually know about the fees that are deducted from our superannuation accounts to pay for things like life insurance. We didn't even know we had. So the industry is very important because I think, obviously, there's two sides to it. One, it does provide retirement incomes for us, and compulsory superannuation, as first introduced by Paul Keating, means at least we're putting something away for our retirement, and employers contribute to that. But the other side of it is that $2 trillion worth of funds is actually a huge part of our economy in terms of investment, in terms of helping develop our infrastructure, our assets, our national economy. So it's a huge issue, but it's largely out of our sight. So earlier this year, the Productivity Commission reported on the superannuation industry and recommended that the government undertake a comprehensive review, and the government has decided since the election result back in May to do that. And as you may have seen, different coalition MPs have different views about compulsory superannuation, but certainly about the level of compulsory contribution, which currently is 9.5% and is going to go up to 10%, I think, in 2021, and legislated to go up to 12% in 2025. So there are questions about whether that is too big a reach into your paycheck to fund your retirement, and whether, say 9.5% is adequate, which is what the Grattan Institute, that think tank, has actually concluded, that we're doing quite okay with what we're putting in now. So all these questions need to be answered, but it's interesting to see the debate in the government and in the coalition about what's appropriate and what the rate should be.
In terms of those varying views, obviously the one that kind of stands out and grabs people is the idea of scrapping superannuation entirely. Now, you kind of, from a philosophical standpoint, you might see what certain members of the coalition government are talking about, but realistically, how realistic is that as a thought bubble?
Well, look, I think what the new Senator Andrew Bragg has suggested is that people under $50,000 in terms of their annual income shouldn't be compelled to contribute to super. And there is a point to that to some extent, because you don't actually get much back in the long run if you're on such a low level of income. But on the other hand, I think the notion of compulsory superannuation has become very much entrenched in the Australian psyche. And it's a bit like Medicare. To even suggest doing away with it is like killing Bambi in political terms. But no government on either side of politics would be brave enough to even consider that now. However, I think this question about the rate of contribution is something that is very important, and I think it is actually a good thing that the coalition particularly is having a debate internally about this.
Well, if we think about that sort of that idea from Andrew Brad there, I mean, it kind of makes a basic logic as you enter into it. If people don't have enough money to use right now, well, then why are they potting money away for the future when they need it, when they need it right now? However, the head of Australia's peak superannuation body, Martin Fay, he raised this kind of interesting comparison, saying those that want to meddle with the superannuation in this way are basically anti-vaxxers and arguing that it would demolish the kind of herd effect we see with Australians potting away enough for their retirement, obviously would have to lean more and more on pensions. What do you make of that kind of herd argument?
Well, I think Dr. Fay needs a good media advisor, because that wasn't a very good analogy to make. and to talk about the Australian public as the herd, I think, was a bit of a howler as well. But the bottom line is, from the industry's point of view, the more funds under management, the better. End of story. What he essentially was arguing, though, was that you need, if you want to actually have superannuation and retirement incomes derived from it as an effective substitute for the age pension, that you need to have a level of contribution that guarantees that there's sufficient funds in the bank, so to speak, for the retiree when they actually need it. And he's arguing very strongly that 12% is a great thing. But I think, again, the way I looked at when I watched that interview on the 7:30 report last night, it just struck me as self-interested rent-seeking, the industry wanting to look after its own and feather its own nest. And I think the industry does have a problem, and certainly industry super funds are a big target of the coalition government in the sense that a lot of them are occupationally based and certainly union dominated, particularly on their boards. So it's a nice cushy appointment to get a board appointment to an industry super fund if you're a unionist. But I think right across the board, I think there are questions about how superannuation funds are managed, not just industry ones, but retail ones as well. And certainly the returns that those investments are getting in terms of bolstering the superannuation pool and whether they're being invested wisely or well or getting good returns, or are fees and charges actually gouging the punter. And so when you actually get to the retirement, you found that your superannuation account is not as big as you thought it was going to be. And you didn't even have a clue that this is all going on because you don't pay attention to your annual statement. So I think the industry does need more transparency. It does need clarity, but I think it has to make more than a self-interested case to justify the take it gets from contributing employees and self-employed workers.